There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday. Easy to get in touch with us as well. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. And we will grab your calls or your text. All right. Coming up on today's show, I said in hour number two, and I've actually got some messages on this too. It's... This story came out last week, but I got this guy to hop on with us. He's up in Alaska right now. He's from Baldwin County. And it's, I don't know, I just kind of all shucks this thing. A hummingbird that was tagged. It's kind of amazing that you can get a transmitter on a hummingbird. Flies from Lillian to Juneau, Alaska in 38 days. Kyle Shepard, he's up there right now, Baldwin County guy, but up in Alaska. He's going to join us in hour number two. April Marie Fogle on the way on the show as well. All right, as I mentioned at the end of Jeff's show, we get started here with a discussion of a thin layer placement. Ah, yes, the good old thin layer placement back in the mix. Joining us to talk more about that. And you can read more about the story and also hear from State Senator Chris Elliott. Andrea Ramey has a story over at WPMI about it. He joins us now. Thank you, Senator.
Glad to be with you.
Okay, I'm glad to have you here. But what the heck is going on here? I mean, just in regular people language. I mean, you know where I come at this from. You and I are both, you know, involved in this world. It's not a, not academic study of Mobile Bay. You and I are both guys that spend a lot of time on the water here. I thought we had this figured out. I thought y'all had legislation passed that was going to deal with this.
And it will. And so that is my message right now, is we're working that process. And this is part of the Corps of Engineers NEPA process. And just to give your listeners a little bit of background, they're asking for public comment right now on their plan to do maintenance dredging on the ship channel. Their plan to do maintenance dredging on the ship channel includes the optionality for them to do a whole bunch of thin layer placement, colloquially mud dumping, right? Mm-hmm. And so we passed a law in Alabama last year during the legislative session that says if you're going to dredge in Mobile Bay, you have to use 70% of the dredge material has to be used on beneficial use projects, which is upland disposal. And the law specifically outlines what is not beneficial use, and what is not beneficial use is mud dumping. And so the Corps tried to get cute with us on that a while back, and so we went ahead and said, nope, we're going to go ahead and define it in the statute. And so we did that.
Yeah, I want to remind people, too, about the getting cute on it. I mean, I've followed this for a long time, like you have. Y'all, at one point, this is the Corps themselves, had defined there was beneficial use, and then there was thin layer placement. They were separate mm-hmm. things. Then the Corps like takes the eraser out or the liquid paper, marks over that, and then lumps thin layer placement into beneficial use. My bud, Senator.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. It was I thought it was pretty offensive too to just say, oh, we have now deemed that this is beneficial use, and so we're in compliance with some of the federal regulations there. And so I looked at this and said, okay, how do I, as a state senator and Representative Marcus as a state representative, how do we tell the Corps what they can and cannot do? The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and a state senator, right? How do we do that? And so we started going back through the NEPA process and what is called the Coastal Area Management Plan. And so it's an interesting way, not all that different. If your listeners will remember the Mobile River Bridge and the MPOs, you remember mm-hmm. when the local MPOs pulled the project off of the STIP,
yep.
right? And then all of a sudden it was like, uh-oh, we can't do this anymore. Well, that's what gave me this idea. It was the same thing. In these cases, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has to demonstrate the concurrency with the Coastal Area Management Plan. And that Coastal Area Management Plan is developed in concert with the Corps, but also in concert with the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources and with ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management. And so what we did at the state level, because I can't tell the federal government what to do,
right.
but I can tell the state government what to do. And so by statute, we said, you have to update the Coastal Area Management Plan to ensure that projects of this size use 70% of the material, dredge material, on beneficial use projects. And so they've done that. And so what's going to happen now during this public comment period and then subsequent to that, the Corps of Engineers is going to get that official notice back from me and from ADEM and from DCNR that says, hey, I need to point you to the statute that says we can't sign off on the plan as you've presented it because you're not in compliance with the Coastal Area Management Plan or state law.
So then what happens? If that situation that we can't sign off on it, then what is the ball's in the Corps court? So what happens then?
The ball's back in the Corps court, and the Corps is going to have to revise its plan to comply with state law, to comply with the updated Coastal Area Management Plan, and demonstrate how they are going to dispose of 70% of this dredge material on beneficial use projects. And oh, by the way, the Corps has to approve most of those beneficial use projects too. You got to love how that works. And so they've got to do that in order to move forward with a plan to do the maintenance dredging. And so this is what we had planned from the very beginning, was to force them into a situation where they're going to have to do that. Now, what's happening in D.C. right now is there are discussions going on with our federal delegation about the very real need for more money to do this in an environmentally responsible way. Not environmentally friendly. We're going to call it environmentally responsible. Okay.
But what's that difference? I mean, what's the semantics difference on that?
Listen, industry has impact on the environment all the time that is negative. No question about it, right?
Right.
We do it when we build roads, when
sure.
we clear lands, when we... Okay, so that's
okay.
Those are not environmentally friendly activities. But a responsible way to do it is to mitigate some of that damage or not do more damage, not do gratuitous damage, right? And I think what's happening, or what did happen in Mobile Bay with the mud dumping, was gratuitous. We can do better. We know how to do better. We should do better.
Okay. By the way, being up there in Washington, I thought about this before when the discussion about funding, you know, and Senator Brett had talked about it as well. Let's see, analog here, analogy. All right, I need my 20-year-old's grades from this last semester at college up in New York, but she's an adult, so I can't get them. But if I withhold funding for tickets to go to Bonnaroo or a summertime thing, I have leverage then to get said grades. So can we at a federal level like say, hey, if you don't do it this way, you're not going to get funded?
Well, first of all, I think that's the comparison between Bonnaroo and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is not one I've heard before, Sean, but I'm loving
you're here.
It. I'm really liking it. I'm liking it, buddy. both girl dads, and I'm feeling what you're saying. So I think the answer is kind of. What's going to happen is the Corps is likely going to go back to the drawing board from a planning standpoint and say, okay, we've been told by the state we can't do this the cheap way. We have to do this because we have to keep the ship channel dredged. We're going to have to do it a way that requires more funding. And so the budget numbers will change. And then it is incumbent upon our federal appropriators, who, by the way, have been doing a fantastic job. Senator Tuberville, Senator Brett, Representative Moore, and Representative Figures all have been doing yeoman's work in making sure that the Corps has enough money to do this in an environmentally responsible way. And so when they come back with this higher price tag, there's money to do that and
okay.
to do it better and to do it cleaner. And we just want to make sure that that's a continued effort on part of our federal delegation.
Why, Senator, why are they fighting it? If the funding's there, why are they fighting it so hard? I mean, do you have an idea? Like, because we can do both things. That's the thing, too. This argument will be pushed back as binary. Oh, Sullivan doesn't want thin layer placement, so he doesn't want the port to succeed. Y'all, I want both things to happen, and they can both happen.
I couldn't agree more with you, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that we, you know, allowed for some optionality for the port, right? If there's a hurricane and there's a need for emergency dredging, I mean, there are provisions in...
They're still working off an emergency thing from before, right? I mean, they're still running on that.
I think they're done with that. And so at this point, it became clear to me during these conversations that they didn't want to be told what to do. They did not want environmentalists like the Baykeeper folks or conservationists like you and I to get in the way and tell them what they could or could not do. And up to the point where they said, oh, the science doesn't support this. Well, common sense supports not pumping tens of millions of cubic yards of mud and putting it back on top of the water and into the water column. And don't believe me. Believe you, who won't let me do that if I tried it. Right.
Yeah.
If I was dredging out my boat slip, they'd throw me under the jail if I tried to do that. But it's, you know, it's one of those do as I say, not as I do type of things. And I just don't have any patience for that. And so we've
made these changes. Other option. That's the thing. You know, if it was like, OK, there's no way to be able to have, you know, the deepened and widened ship channel maintained. And there's no other option but thin layer placement. It's the only thing we can do. Then maybe we're in a different discussion here. And how are we going to mitigate that? But we can do both. Dang it. This is what's so frustrating.
We absolutely can. And that's where it, you know, it really became apparent to me. I'm going to have to change the law to force these folks to do what's right. And again, it was a tough piece of legislation. My colleagues looked at me early on and said, you're going up against big business. You're going up against, the Mobile Chamber. You're going up against the port, who does not want to be told what to do, but it was the right thing to do, Sean. I'm glad we did it, and now it is playing out just as it was designed. We just had to be smart. We had to think outside the box and figure out how can the state of Alabama tell the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers what to do, and we figured it out, and now it's playing out just as expected.
Okay, so timeline on that. I mean, right now, can they? Like, say, what they're dredging today, if they're dredging, if they're doing maintenance dredging, can they do thin layer placement at the higher amount?
So they're not dredging the ship channel currently, right? They just got through with that deep.
But they'll have maintenance. Project. I don't know when the maintenance cranks back up, but it's probably
soon. The maintenance is probably in 27, and that's why they've started again this process for public comment. And so they got to go through all the bureaucracy just like everybody else. Only government would create bureaucracy that it then had to comply with. But hey, so be it. I'm using it right now. When they make rules that that I can leverage, I'm going to use it. And so they're going through that process right now to get in anticipation of the maintenance dredging. Now there's additional dredging going on in the port itself, right? Think about up there where the ships are.
Turnaround basin.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And so, interestingly enough, you know what they're doing with all that? They're disposing all of that upland. They're doing all of that the right way. And so that's a good thing. We just need to make sure that when they get back into the maintenance dredging part, they're doing what's right. But at this point, I'm done with the public policy argument here. We've had that, and the state legislature has acted, and the governor has signed into law what the public policy is. Now it's you shall comply with the law. That's where we are now.
Okay, and by the way, side note, just if you get a chance to bend an ear, I've been harping about this for a while, probably long enough you've even heard me talking about it. Commissioner Blankenship was on yesterday, and we were talking about the upper, the bay mitigation area. Like a kind of Gilliard Island, but the north end would be open for water to flow in and out, which I think would be great for an estuary. Let's put that baby where we don't already have grass. Like the original mapping, they've taken it away, but the mapping... You know that end of the bar down there, the Tensaw bar?
I do.
Where there's grass there. Let's move it to where there's no grass. I mean, we can go a mile south of there, and now there's no grass. You know what I'm saying? Instead of putting this footprint on top of a place that does get grass, let's go a little south of Goat Island. Let's go a little further down. So just throwing that in the mix.
I will speak to him about that. I know this is one of the things they've been planning on for a while. And I think on the whole is a great example of what a beneficial use project can look like. And again, the port in particular, and obviously DCNR have been very supportive of this project and moving it forward. And I'm glad that it's happening and I'm glad that it's working. Now, I will say this. It is not going to look pretty when they start. Well, it's going to look like a big muddy mess. But give it a year, let the grass start growing back and a lot of the plantings they've done and things like that. And it's really going to be an example of what to do as opposed to just spraying this stuff on top of the water and hoping you don't mess up the bay even worse.
Yeah, you take something that is currently a negative to the bay and the estuary system and do something like this that's a net benefit. And then everybody pats you on the back, and we got a ship channel, and we got, you know, more shrimp and crabs. We have more flounder. We have more wading birds. We have more places for ducks, and everybody's happy.
It seems like a no-brainer. And those of us that enjoy it, that participate, that use it, understand it at a base level. And I think all too often, you know, there just aren't as many people that are in it, that touch it, that feel it, that live it every day. And so it just becomes another resource. And I don't want that to happen to our bay. I think we can do better than that. And as a policymaker, I try to fight for that every day.
All right. Well, I appreciate you doing it. We're going to keep checking in with you as this moves forward.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Senator Elliott joining us and coming right back. Get your text and calls on this, 251-343-0106 plus. Ziegler and Schillinger and Ziegler, if you look at our Facebook, there's green light and flashing red light at the same time. I don't kind of remember back what they taught me in driving school you do there when you come up to that light. It's something.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1227 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Studying this during the break here, the traffic alert, light malfunction at Schillinger and Ziegler. Now, driver's ed instructors, pipe up here on the text line or call in. Law enforcement, help me with this one. Try to remember in this scenario what happens. So you're looking at it. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, and see. There, if you're looking at, so this is Schillinger at Ziegler, and the lights are green. So the bottom, you know, the bottom, you get the three lights. You got red, yellow, and green. They're green, but at top, the red's blinking. It looks kind of like a Christmas decoration, a little bit. It's a challenge. I mean, we already have a city that, if the lights are out, like, what was the last, it was Thursday, right? We had the remnants of Arthur come through here. We had some lights out, and, like, I would stop when there are no lights. It turns into a four-way stop, right? And then people would go blowing by me. We know that you're supposed to do that. Lights are out. You turn as use it as a four-way stop. But you got a green light and you have flashing red lights. Don't know. I really don't know what to do with that one. So, all right. If you do, please let us know. 251-343-0106. Let's see. Jim in Sims said the problem with the Corps of Engineers is that many years ago they became an entity unto themselves in order to justify the existence of the agency, and no one wants to oppose them for some unknown reason, unless it could be politics. Jason, talking about that story. Yeah, I heard that story at the news start of the hour. Said, how does a woman not hold that loudest person record? I have an ex that's a serious contender. I will argue for being really loud. I think I hear you, Jason, but I think guys hold that. Heck, I've held it recently. I had comment talking to a older member of my family who's very close to me, of her son, and on the phone with her, and I have to talk so loudly that people around me are like, I'm like, why are y'all going in the other room? They said, because you're so loud. I said, well, I have to be to get through there, so I may be competitive. And you know, like loud guy, like you could be in the restaurant, and they're like seven tables over, and it sounds like they're sitting with you. All right, old guy on the text line says, sure is a lot of talking. I'm thinking I distrust this line of BS. We will see but all I hear is talk. Oh, on the dumping. I'm staying on it. Yeah, John says sounds like stop and go traffic. Y'all go look at the video on our Facebook page. I'm scratching my head. What you do with this? Green light and red light at the same time at an intersection.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, I'm still a bit dumbfounded. So I have not heard from any driver's ed teachers. Or how about my... Hey, let me check one more time before I call them out again. Let's see, did they... Yeah, my law enforcement buddies. What is this? If you go to our Facebook page, Leanna has it up. It's a light. It was earlier. I don't know if it's still that way. Lights malfunctioning at Schillinger and Ziegler. And this one's confusing. You picture this. You've got green light on the bottom. So green light go, but up top the red lights are blinking. So, yeah, you do treat it as a four-way stop. But, I mean, it's like a... It's not a normal thing. You could see green. You're like, okay, there's green. Oh, but there's also red. I don't know. April Marie, did you remember that when you were taking driver's ed? If you come to a traffic light and it's both green and blinking red, what do you do?
If it's blinking red?
Yeah, it's green light. So picture this. So the light's green. Okay, it's solid green. Okay. It's not blinking. But up top, the red is blinking.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
I would
assume you stop. I feel like if there's a red involved anywhere, you just stop because you have no idea what the other side is seeing.
That is correct. Just absolutely right. That's the safest measure. Just stop in place, put the car in park, see what happens. By the way, during the news break, April Marie was the first one, I think, to define this. You know, you hear about big pharma, big tech. Big algae. Who knew big algae was a thing? You said the people that are pulling for big algae out there.
Wait, what? What kind of bizarre world have we entered? Because that's what we've got going on here. And you know, I don't know how you're supposed. The left is like, I think we hit the stupidest point we can. We can't define what a man and a woman is. We want to give certain books to kids. We got drag queens. Oh, how can we be any dumber? Oh, let's see. Let's go out there and protest in support of the algae.
They're pro algae, I guess. It is ridiculous. Like, I want the problem fixed, but it's, you know, I was talking to my son about this, you know, how politics devolves into ad hominem attacks. And this, y'all debate the issue. What are you mad about? Are you mad about Iran? Are you mad about tax policy? Are you mad about whatever it is? Debate that thing. But they don't. They just say, well, look, Trump's not doing a good job because, the polls turn green, which, by the way, and they made arrests yesterday or Sunday.
Yesterday and the day before, they made arrests because people were going out and where it's been cut, right? Where there's a long line of it and it's just holding on for dear life. People are pulling that up and, you know, trying to take a piece for a souvenir. And you're like, what is wrong with you? Like what in the world?
What kind of third world thing is it? Yeah, they're just grabbing like the blocks from the Berlin Wall and running off with them.
Yeah, what is happening here? Well, and yesterday I watched one of the videos of one of the women getting arrested, and it was very clear. I mean, it was clear as day. They had just plain clothes looking like tourists, office undercover, and which also cracks me up. Like, honey, you know, you went to law enforcement training, you get this great job, you're federal law enforcement now. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm in plain clothes trying to catch the morons out here trying to tear up the pool. Like, what in the world?
I don't understand the tearing it up. I don't understand the tearing it up. You know, yesterday I thought about that maybe somebody's pouring Miracle-Gro in there to make it turn, you know, to make it have an algae bloom, putting some kind of phosphate in there. But the tearing it up and the big rip and cut, I really don't get it. I don't understand why.
Here's the thing is, and this is what it comes down to for me, and I'm hosting radio, a different media market this week, and I had this whole rant, which is people can't see past Trump and any Trump success, whether it's going to be Iran, whether it's going to be with the economy, whether it's going to be a Doge cut, whether it's going to be whatever, they have to find the negative in. Oh, well, Biden did it better. Oh, well, this, you know, that's not a real win. They couldn't give him the real win of having a pre or reflecting poll. Think of how deranged you have to be like, oh, Trump's fixed something. We are going to go break it, and we're going to go contribute to the people breaking it or thing breaking it. Like, that's insane to me.
And what it does is it wastes time. Like, you can disagree. I'd love to hear y'all talking about policy and saying, you know, Trump's idea about this is wrong. I don't like the way we're exiting Iran. I don't like the fact we went in. That's fine. That's what we should be doing, debating those things, not, he's not good at being president because the pool's turned green.
Well, and then the other thing about what's going on in Iran right now, people are like, oh, man, he lost. He got a bad deal. And you're like, hey, we're in their 60-day MOU. We don't know what the deal is yet. You guys are out there celebrating, you know, a loss, which, by the way, a loss for Trump is a loss for the U.S. and for a lot of people. So you're out there cheering for Iran over the U.S. And we have an MOU, a 60-day MOU, not a real deal. So let's get the deal. And if you want to complain about the deal once that's done, go for it. But complaining we lost when we haven't, when the game's not done being played, that's what bothers my mind.
Yeah, and hopefully, fingers crossed, because I don't want us involved in that anyway. But, you know, they get some things ironed out in 60 days or an extension or something like that. I don't know. I mean, the scary thing for me just looking at it is, if you think the Iranians are going to be, you know, fair arbiters, like I've been using this, the sitcom analogy. Do you think the Iranians are going to go, like at the end of a sitcom, when they go, Dad, I sure learned a lesson there. Thanks for the, you know, right. You know, at the end of the thing, they're like, yeah, sure. I like the Iranians are going to go, yeah, we sure learned our lesson. We'll do better next time. Yeah, I don't trust them at all.
Well, here's the thing is, and I watched the Trump interview yesterday. He had he did one of those like Oval Office where he was signing something or doing a photo op, and then he took questions, and he was like, the idea that we didn't win or we didn't scare them or we didn't do it, you know, we killed 65 of their leaders and took out their entire Navy. So while you guys are out here poo-pooing this situation, like, recognize the media is failing to talk about what we have done that should scare the pants off of them.
Well said. But the pool, the pool, the reflect, you know what? Somebody said yesterday, maybe it was Forrest and Jenna when they put their feet in the reflecting pool, that was the original planting of the algae.
You know, and here's the thing is, again, who are you rooting against? Do you think Trump stays up at night going, we've got Iran, we've got, we've got Israel this, we've got, we've got economy worried about a recession, we've got all these things, and I'm worried about the Yahoos at the reflecting pool. No, it's them. this isn't keeping Trump up at night, people. I don't know what you're doing besides making the rest of the U.S., if not the world, realize what an idiot you are.
I will say other things do keep him up. I wish they would just take the phone away at midnight, something like that. But, you know, I don't know. It's just the wee hours of the morning. The guy doesn't drink or anything. It's not like he's drunk texting. But, I mean, you know, at some point you're like, okay, somebody, the stuff that comes out at 2 in the morning, let's ease off on that.
Well, I was kind of talking about this, which is Trump's got his staff split where there's a day person and a night person. You're on the Trump night shift. And you got to wake up and you're Susie Wiles and you're like, you had one job, like keep him out of trouble for 12 hours, like for the luck. But, you know, here's the thing is Trump is going to Trump. Yeah, I don't know. Did you see where the Italian prime minister got mad because he said she begged for a photo and he was like, she's like, I don't beg. And I'm like, how about you just let Trump be Trump and you don't try to one up him because this is a terrible game to play.
I didn't see it, but I mean, it's not surprising. You know,
you'll have to Google it. The Trump saying that telling Italian media that the Italian prime minister begged for a photo with him, and then she canceled a meeting because she was like, no, well, I'm not going to go meet with him. I didn't beg for anything. We don't beg. And you're like, it's just Trump being Trump. And if you haven't figured that out by now, we don't need to have an international crisis because Trump, you know, is used hyperbole.
Bring it back home to Alabama here for a while, too, in a series of stories. I don't know how many in the series, but it's a bunch you've been doing for 1819news.com about DEI and the state of Alabama, what's going on at University of Alabama. First of all, set the stage. The legislature, what does it say? What are the rules as dictated by the legislature for DEI in the state of Alabama?
So it's banned. It's, you know, there's no DEI. There's no divisive concepts. There's no oppressor. No, you know, we're going to hire more black people at the expense of other qualified candidates. There's none of that, right? We are going to get away from this victimhood mentality. This racism is okay as long as it's against whites. We're not going to do any of that nonsense. And so we've been talking to, and it's basically a lot of the woke ideas, right? We're not going to put our students in higher education in a position where they don't feel comfortable completing an assignment or taking a class or whatever because of the color of their skin or their ideas and beliefs. And so what I covered this week is, you know, the University of Alabama is telling lawmakers, as a matter of fact, Stuart Bell, as a part of his process to get the University of Florida job, was like, we got rid of all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he claimed that when you had video of him saying that.
Yeah, exactly. And so what ended up happening was the university was like, hold my beer. We're going to take one of the loudest, craziest DEI, you know, individuals that we had on campus, someone who insists that the school is inherently racist and racist, and we're going to promote him to a provost and dean position over graduate studies. And you're going, well, first off, this dude, by just looking at his resume, not qualified for the position, doesn't have the requisite experience, but he is a big DEI guy. And so I'm continuing to report on these things because what's happening is the school president, President Moeller, is saying to lawmakers, I'm doing better. We got a grip. We're still working with what we had. Well, there's a difference between working with what you're stuck with and then promoting people who don't, like I said, don't have the experience. So in the first, literally, in the press release, what the university did, they did not mention any of this guy's DEI experience. And then you look at his actual resume and you're like, you did a nationwide search and the best you could come up with was a guy in your backyard doing everything you said you weren't doing anymore. This doesn't make sense.
So I mean, what happens next? I mean, is there a mechanism? You know, sometimes they pass things in Montgomery that don't have a mechanism to do it. Like, is there a mechanism that the state could come back and say, well, no, actually, we said you're not doing that. Here's an example. You did that. You need to do another search.
I think this is one of those examples of, you know, don't DM us and tell us it's raining, you said you're stuck with it, and now you're doing it yourself. And so we'll see if anything they do. I'm not confident they'll do anything, to be honest. To be honest, I really, that the university will, and I think that this is another example of lawmakers themselves have to say we're serious about this, and we'll see how they do that.
All right, people.
The University of Alabama has shown their hand. Will the lawmakers now do something about it?
Well, that's the question, right? How many times do we, and not just on this subject, but they'll pass a law that doesn't have any teeth? You know, everybody pat me on the back. I'm so great, but it doesn't do anything.
Mm-mm. No, it's very frustrating.
All right, people want to continue reading this story and the whole series of them, 1819news.com, or they want to. You see
it
there?
Yeah, 1819 News. And I'll give you my plug that I'm trying to do every time I talk media now, which is if you've got a student at an Alabama university and they are seeing this nonsense, they're living this nonsense, Howard reached out to me. My email's on the bottom of every single email. So what class, what professor, what program, what evidence do you have? And we'll get right on into it for you.
April Marie, as always, I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye, Don.
All right, there she goes. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1252, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff at Stoat Arms, Jeff Stone of Stoat Arms. Eponymously titled Stoat Arms. Just a fantastic gun shop, first of all. I mean, from gunsmithing work to accessories to obviously the firearms, used and new firearms in there. Ammunition, they got it. And if you want something like very specific rounds I was trying to get last year for a trip out to Utah, they got those in, a day and a half. And while you're out there, too, if you've always wanted a silencer, suppressor, can, whatever you want to call it, like I did. And for years, I went through the process like, oh, I did get fill out some forms. I never got it done because you had to completely fill out the forms and go over here and get your fingerprints made, go over there, get the passport type photo. It all had to be put together the right way, sent off to the ATF. Well, those days are gone at Stoat Arms. When I went a couple of years ago, it was a 20-minute process for me. They've got a computer system in there. When you walk in, if you walk in the door, just hang it immediate right. And it takes you through the whole process, make sure everything's done properly to send off to the feds. Plus, now the tax stamp fee is gone. So the $200 that I paid back in the olden days, you don't even have to pay anymore. And they're getting the process done 30 minutes or less. And approval wait time is 2 weeks or sooner. They're getting a lot of people done in 2 days. And then, lucky for us, great selection of silencers and the firearms and the know-how to put them all together right there at Stoat Arms on Airport. They're just west of Snow on Airport, about a quarter mile west of Snow on the south side, online stoatarmsinc.com. And, I mentioned last week I was talking about another part of this, of what they do with Stoat Arms. They also have a members-only range called Silver Creek Range up by Gulf Crest. Really cool place. 14 different ranges out there. So you have, but the one that I think that got a lot of people's attention here. I mean, you've got a rimfire-only range, tactical pistol rifle ranges. You got a 50-yard paper-only pistol and rifle range. You got a 25 to 200-yard rifle sight-in range, like get your deer rifle dialed in. They also have, because this is popular, I know, because I like doing it too, they have a 1,000-yard range. So you can go do the long shooting right there at just up the road in Gulf Crest, or maybe right next to your house if you live in Gulf Crest. So check it out online, silvercreekrange.com, and you can apply to be a member of the range. But anytime, you can go by and see them at Stoat Arms. Like I said, just west of Snow on Airport, online, stoatarmsinc.com. Right, let me get some text lines, get caught up here. Chris in Orange Beach says, I have a very important question to ask the masses. I've been living in the same space for the last 25 years. Is there something in the air or in the rain that's making the grass grow the way it is? I've never seen my grass grow this much in a week's time. Is it the La Nina effect? We'll have to ask Dr. Bill if it's... No, it's fact that it rained so much, right? Which actually, for a while, somewhat suppressed the grass growth. And then when it stopped, it's going crazy. It's the rain... Too much of it, right, can suppress the growth, and then when it starts drying out, it comes up. I've seen it, fields of peanuts near my house are a little bit that way. Some sunflower fields and stuff I have planted are that way, too. They were just stunted during the rain. And now, grow, baby, grow. All right, Keith says, Sean, can we send any South Alabama pool guy to D.C. and take care of that algae problem? I haven't changed water in my pool in 6 years. In March, it was completely black, but now it's sparkly clean from just a few chemicals. Keith, that's what I said yesterday. Couldn't we just shock the reflection pool the way Dad and I would do the pool when I was growing up? You do the old shock in it. And I called several pool places around town to get them, and they all were on board with us. They were kind of laughing, but none of them did go on the air. But I had conversations with three different pool companies yesterday before the show even started. All right, DEI Texter says, first, a big surprise, DEI Texter, not crazy about Trump. Well, go ahead. Y'all right, let's write that down. All right, can I, duly noted. Because like I said, you can get my attention probably more often when you're neutral or sometimes this is good, but this is bad. But DEI Texter, you are consistent. Said, being surprised the Trump administration doesn't care about Mobile Bay and the environment is farcical. I don't know this even on there. This is a, it's not, the Trump administration has nothing to do with that. This is just the machinations of government. And then says the algae is only a metaphor for this administration and its havoc on the country. The real issue The real issue is the $14 million no-bid contract to his fraud felon neighbor who caused this problem, and the derangement is false arresting bystanders because the crybaby can't even admit his mistakes. Is it that? Or what about the people putting stuff in the reflecting pool? What is the... Do you know exactly what happened? Please let me know. B-Dark said, Sean, you want to hear serious Trump derangement syndrome? I went to fill up my truck and gas dropped from $3.91 to $3.41. Said gas dropped and the cashier started cussing about Trump. Question marks. Chad says, how long until some leftists fly pro-algae banners in downtown Mobile? Big algae. That's what it's all about. The move, yeah, big algae. Well, like the algae be gone. I just do wonder. I mean, I ask these questions hoping there'd be a news story that would accompany it. Couldn't you just... I mean, seriously, couldn't we just do a shock on it? And I know they pump the water. We wouldn't want chlorinated water going back in the Potomac. They pump the water out of the tidal basin, which if you've been in D.C. back and forth, you go over there where some pretty boats are parked in there. So they're pumping the water out of there. But I don't think they pump it back in. So you could put lots of chlorine in there and get that thing done, right? Just an idea out there. All right, coming up, this is a story really caught my attention last week. Hummingbird, with a transmitter on it, first of all, which is amazing technology, leaves Lillian, Alabama, and flies to Juneau, Alaska, and does it in 38 days. We'll talk more about that with Kyle Shepard with the Banding Coalition of America next.